park these grounds, but we've had a great experience. So we're going to continue to build on that this evening. Tom Mitchell bringing us the message tonight. You don't see two other individuals up here. We're going to have Andrew King offer our opening prayer, and David Joyce will close it down, and then he'll be right here to give you all those important announcements that we need to know. My name is Bruce Levengood. I'm from Dover, Ohio Restoration Branch. We welcome you this evening. And we have Marcy Plan this evening for the pianist, and Heather Joyce will be bringing us a special. So thank you both for your preparation and sharing your talents. This is the choir, and the singing will be like a talent show continuation. So we look forward to that this evening. At this time, I'd like for you to turn to hymn 20 as our introit, and we will remain seated and use this. and invite your spirits and even your very presence to be here in our midst. That even for a short time, heaven and earth could come together. That we might hear your words spoken through your servant this day. That our hearts would be humble. That we would come ready and desiring to receive. That we would come with that hunger and that thirst to know who you are. To see you more clearly in our life. That we might have that power to share this glorious gospel. The glories of your love, of your mercy, of your forgiveness, and of that new creation that you desire to make within us. And Father, I ask that you might bless Brother Tom. I know that this evening is rather warm, and there can be so many different thoughts, so many different things going on. And I know that he has many thoughts upon his heart. And I ask, Father, that you might give him that clarity, that singleness of focus, that he truly would be an instrument in your hands this night, that we would not see him, but that we would see you, that we would not hear him, but that we would hear you. Father, I would even invoke the power of your Spirit to be with us here at this time, that we might worship you with all of our heart and all of our soul. In the name of Jesus Christ, I offer this prayer. Amen.
The text from tonight, to center our thoughts, is from the Book of Doctrine and Covenants. If you want to turn with me to section 90. Section 90, paragraph 1. Verily thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that every soul who forsaketh his sins and cometh unto me and calleth on my name and obeyeth my voice and keepeth my commandments shall see my face and know that I am, and that I am the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It is my wish tonight that at the end of the few words that I have to share, I will mirror what you sing. For it is in Christ alone we find our peace and our rest and our redemption. Saints, tonight I bring you good news. I apologize for the laptop. I had a different idea coming up with what I was going to share, but that thought has changed, and I want to share with you tonight some thoughts. My brother Jack said, hey Tom, can you hold that under 3 hours? And I said, absolutely. Now, if it was Aaron Smith in Africa, you'd be in trouble. If you want to know what it's like in Africa on a cool day, this is what it feels like right here today. I want you to grab your scriptures. I'm going to share 5 things. If I speak at my normal speed, it won't take that long. If I slow down, I'm going to be here a while. So I'll try to speak clearly, you try to listen faster. 1, I want to talk about how to overcome darkness in this world. Find, if you will, section 42 of the Book of Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, 2a, put your finger in it. Saints, we live in perilous times. Spoken of by the prophets, where good is called evil and evil is called good in every nation, among every tribe and tongue, Satan has sown terror, seeds of unrighteousness growing quickly among the fruit of his vineyard. Nations, we talked about this today, nations rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You see in the news Ukraine struggling to survive against Russia. You see Israel trying to fend off Hamas, while the Arab nations, particularly Iran and Yemen and Hezbollah and Lebanon, call for the annihilation of the Jews. Tensions between China and Taiwan, China and the Philippines, between North Korea and the democracies in the South Pacific fill the news. Civil rest and civil war circles the globe. The Sudan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Ethiopia, the drug wars all over Latin America lead a long list on every continent. Today, Venezuela is using the term in their political instability, the term today, revolution. Waves of immigrants fleeing from danger risk death across the Mediterranean Sea to try to find sanctuary in Europe as a constant stream of Latter-day Lamanites are fulfilling prophecy, overwhelming our southern borders in the U.S., and as we talked about in class today, like lions among us. Hunger stars and disease infest the developing and neglected countries. Many who were colonized and abandoned or still suffering significant drain of their countries by wealthier Gentile nations who had bigger armies and bigger navies. Defiant terrorist groups around the world consumed by anger and resentment hijack everything from planes to hospital infrastructure and bank accounts. Hostages are swept from their homes and vacations, languishing in prisons and hideouts, many never to return to their families. From the depths of the oceans to the top of the mountains in the Himalayas, plastic and trash are piling up from our ever-consuming societies, which make disposable products, saints, that never, ever go away. As the planet Earth, which obeys the celestial law, groans for renewal and rebirth from a litany of pollutions. You've been watching, I'm sure, the forests in the West and in Canada burn more acres every year. Last year alone, California employed 7,000 firefighters per day, and they could not put out those fires. Many of those fires burning the same towns and the same areas they did just years ago. Mudslides and earthquakes, hurricanes and tornadoes, and rising temperatures and sea levels, whatever your political thoughts are on that, continue unabated, converging to an epic event before us. As around the globe, our internet airwaves continue to consume and addict the lives of so many of us, I said us, believing everything on the internet without any knowledge of who is the originator, if it's true or not, as long as it fits our narrative, or the damage it could cause our children. Scores of pornography and deviance, child labor, child slavery, and a host of other evils. All the while, we spend the fortunes of our countries. I saw yesterday in the United States, it's over $33 trillion of national debt. And while we spend our savings from our households to another box from Amazon, in all this world, if you just take a look out there, it looks so dark and so lost. But saints, I bring you good news. In section 45:2a, we find these words. Hearken, O ye people of my church and ye elders, listen together and hear my voice while it is called today, and harden not your hearts. For verily I say unto you, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the light and the life of the world, a light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I came unto my own, and my own received me not, but unto as many as received me gave I power to do many miracles and to become the sons of God. Did you hear that? The sons of God. And even unto them that believed on my name gave I power to obtain eternal life. And even so have I set my everlasting covenant into the world to be a light to the world, to be a standard for my people and for the Gentiles to seek to it, and to be a messenger before my face to prepare the way before me. Wherefore come ye unto it, and with him that cometh I will reason as with men in days of old, and I will show unto you my strong reasoning. Wherefore hearken ye together. Let me show it unto you, even my wisdom, the wisdom of him who ye say is the God of Enoch and his brethren who were separate from the earth and was received unto myself. A city reserved unto a day of righteousness shall come, a day which was sought by all holy men, and they found it not, because of wickedness and abominations, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, but obtained the promise that they should find it and see it in the flesh. Do you feel like a pilgrim? Do you sometimes feel like a stranger? Wherefore, hearken, I will reason with you. I will speak unto you and prophesy as unto men in days of old. And I will show it plainly, as I showed it unto my disciples, as I stood before them in the flesh and spake unto them, saying, as ye have asked of me concerning the signs of my coming, in the day when I shall come in my glory in the clouds of heaven to fulfill the promises that I made to your fathers. Number two, a gathering from believers in a nation divided in Joseph's land. It is written, Jesus will come again in great glory in a great time of division, a time when men's hearts are failing them, but if you're not willing to take up sword against those around you, you must flee to Zion for safety. Saints, we live in a nation of great dissent and rebuke. When conversations of everything in our land are filled with contempt and anger and bitterness, polarized, divided into ideological and political tribes, just like the Nephites before the coming of the Lord to the Americas in the Book of Mormon. I add my testimony to you. I mentioned this week in class. I add my testimony to that of High Priest Marlon Green, admonishing you to read the book of 3 Nephi, starting at the first chapter. It's not very long. It describes the history of what took place after Samuel the Lamanite stood on the wall and prophesied to the Nephites. It mirrors the 40 years that we are in. And after that 40 years, guess who came to the Americas? The Lord. And he mapped it out. I was in Michigan. I listened to him. I've heard these classes several times. Where we are in saints, he gave like 12 or 13 points. And he said he pinpoints in his mind, and he's not prescriptive, point 11 or point 12 on that 13-point scale. It is the riches, it is also the riches and abundance of this chosen land of Joseph that has tarnished in many ways the brilliant light of the gospel message of all Christians in America, consuming much of the world's resources, even though we have a very small portion of the world's population, and yet never satisfied. And yet the hand of the Lord has been stayed for a moment. We know this land is preserved for a righteous people who have chosen God in their hearts, in their laws, and their government, and in their business and relationships. But time never has been a friend to the stability and endurance of governments or societies, because Satan always sowed seeds of discontent, ambition, anger, and evil. It will not be long before more persecutions will come to those who are true followers of Jesus in this land. I know this because Jesus said that in his earthly ministry, it would be so. You can see sinfulness rise logarithmically. It's reported every day in the news and the media, proclaiming by so many as good advances as we throw off the shackles of morality, purity, and virtue. Neighbor is already rising against neighbor, but Jesus warned his disciples, including us today, we should not be surprised as such some strange thing happened to us. If they hated him, they will hate his followers and persecute them. I know the daily avalanche of negative news sounds really bad, like we should just abandon the fight and run and hide. But saints, tonight, I bring you good news. Turn with me in the writings of Mormon to the book of Ether, 6th chapter, 2nd verse. Turn with me. I can see in my mind, I can see Moroni, like his father Mormon, in some cave somewhere in Mesoamerica. If you believe in the Heartland theory, I'm sorry, you're not bad people. I just think you're completely wrong. In that cave, surrounded by these plates, etched on them the testimonies of Jesus, never to be dimmed with time, reading them. And as he's reading and understanding the prophecies of Ether, he writes these things, beginning Ether 6:2. For behold, they rejected all the words of Ether, for he truly told them of all things from the beginning of man, and that after the waters had receded off the face of the land, It became a choice land above all other lands, a chosen land of the Lord. That is this land where you sit. Wherefore the Lord would have all men should serve him who dwell upon the face thereof. We heard that today in the scripture that was read. And that it was the place of the new Jerusalem which should come down out of heaven, and the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Behold, Ether saw the days of Christ, and he spake concerning the new Jerusalem upon this land. And he spake also concerning the house of Israel and Jerusalem from whence Lehi had come. After it should be destroyed, it should be built up again, a holy city unto the Lord. We talked about that in class today. Wherefore, it could not be a new Jerusalem, for it had been in a time of old, but it should be built up again and become a holy city of the Lord, and it should be built up unto the house of Israel, and that a new Jerusalem should be built upon this land unto a remnant of the seed of Joseph, for which things there is a type. For as Joseph brought his father down into the land of Egypt, even so he died there. Wherefore the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph, that they might not perish, even as he was merciful unto the father of Joseph, that he should not perish. Wherefore the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built upon this land. It shall be a land of their inheritance, and they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old, and they shall no more be confounded, until the end come, when the earth shall pass away. And there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, and they shall be like unto the old, say the old has passed away, and all things have become new. And then cometh the new Jerusalem, and blessed are they who dwell therein, for it is they whose garments are white through the blood of the Lamb. And they are they who are numbered among the remnant of the seed of Joseph, who are of the house of Israel, and then also come the Jerusalem of old, and the inhabitants thereof. Blessed are they, for they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And they are they who are scattered and gathered in from the four quarters of the earth, from the north countries, and are partakers of the fulfilling of the covenant which God made with their father Abraham. Saints, the words of that American prophet bring good news. 3, a healing to the fractured church. There are always dissenters, even in the church. Like a small group of several priesthood who are my friends and acquaintance and independents, who are now saying, proclaiming in their podcast to saints everywhere, there is no gathering commanded. You heard what I just read from Ether. That the sections of the Doctrine and Covenants are just thoughts from the head of a man. That the glory spoken of in the Doctrine and Covenants section 76 do not exist after this life, because we and all the church before us have interpreted that scripture incorrectly. I would like to pause and tell you the most incredible testimony. It would take me 30 minutes. Where Brother Eric and I in Mombasa went in to share in the city in Mombasa Saturday night when it's dark, when the State Department says white man should never go because they'll never come back out alive. But Eric took me there and shared the gospel. And then a man stood up named Joshua, who'd never heard of the Book of Mormon. He'd never heard of the LDS Church. He'd never heard of the Mormon Church. And he said, I died. He had a surgery. I died. I was coma 4 days. And he said, I saw 3 heavens. In the first heaven was God the Father and Christ. I can feel it. Christ the Son, and the floor was like glass, and the post moved as he spoke. I saw a second heaven where Christ was there, but not God the Father. And the third heaven where the Holy Spirit was, but not the Father or the Son. Eric said he was so upset that he didn't record it on his phone, but it was one of those moments you just had to be there. He walked out into the night, and he looked at me, and he said, Tom, that was for you. We've been just talking about these men. I won't tell you about the fun we had walking through the crowd of all these men who were not white like me, and Eric was on one side of me, and Josh was on the other side, and Felix and some of them was in the front back, and they were not happy I was in their midst. Went to the first tuk-tuk, and they wouldn't take me. And I said, Brother Eric, Sister Debbie would not be happy with you. But we got out of there just fine. We went and had this wonderful feast on the beach. We had this fish or chicken, and it was wonderful. I was on cloud nine. Do not believe their words. These are words bordering on Antichrist. The words of doubters, for they reject the words of Christ and the holy prophets. As in all times, good men and women have been deceived by the evil one in their own blindness, their own fears, their own feelings of knowing. Rejecting the revelations of Scripture, calling them, the traditions of their fathers. Do you know who used those words in the Book of Mormon? It wasn't Nephi. It was Laman and Lemuel and Zizurim and the others who were Antichrist that used those words. There are many in the past 40 years who have said, God spoke to me. Many of these men I knew very well. One of the men who started the Remnant Church ordained me just a few years before in a marvelous revelation in the office of elder. I was going to Buckner, and he attended there, and I never saw him. I was at a prayer service. I got up and asked a prayer, and I mentioned the prayer, the missionaries in the foreign lands. Well, I'd never been outside the United States. And the next morning, that man who was a high priest in the church went to the stake office. He was head of the stake president. And talked to Al Stanley, who was the high priest, and Al was there, and he said, do you know who Tom Mitchell is? He said, yes. He has to call the office of elder. Call the pastor and process that call today. So obviously this man could receive revelation. But unfortunately, when we hear the word of God, God spoke to me, and we've run before the Lord, and we're divided into ideological tribes, into factions of the restoration. Once brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, they now have separated to the point this spring of denying each other the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, using this withholding of the Lord's body like a weapon to distance and divide. Concurrently, a generation of children have grown, not ever knowing the feeling of worshiping in a large, unified church setting. I can't tell you what it's like to sit in the auditorium with 5,000 to 7,000 people and feel them rise to their feet and seeing the Spirit of God like a fire is burning. It's just unbelievable. Where there's a functioning united priesthood under the laws and processes outlined in the Book of Doctrine and Covenants, which book we accept and use every week in church as inspired scripture. These young people sensing a hypocrisy between professed charity in the church and the divided branches and their own experiences of friendship and love with their friends from other factions. This rising generation of young people, while constantly battered and enticed by the world, they struggle to find a footing. Just a place where the sand isn't slipping under their feet. An inheritance in the restoration. And many have simply drifted away. To some of us whose homes house those young people, that would be my house, we cry to the Lord, where did we go wrong? Oh Lord, where did we go wrong? Sometimes in these moments of heartaches, for all that is dear seems to be lost, there is a tendency to give up hope, and I know so many who have. But saints, I bring you good news. Turn with me to Malachi, the 4th chapter, the 1st verse. We read this prophecy not only about the coming of Christ in Palestine, that's what we normally read it as, but it also references the advent of Jesus coming in our time. I know this because Jesus said when he was meeting with the disciples, including Nephi, the 12 he chose, I thought it was supposed to be in Malachi. He said, it's not written. He said, write this down. He wrote that down for us. Those people had already experienced him. From Malachi, the 4th chapter, verse 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. But it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. My father loved that saying. And you tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send thee Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. From Alma, the third chapter, verse 57. It's very short. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended toward them, and he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For, feeling the failures in our families, a great drought and famine has come upon this land, not a drought of rain, nor a famine of food, but a great void of hearing and obeying the word of God. It is so evident in the society we live, but it has roots in the dismantled American family that does not sit together for dinners, share the load of family chores and responsibilities, does not pray together as a Zionic unit, or worship together either in the home or in the sanctuaries. Put the blame where you will on our society. It is evil. It does have things that want to rip us apart, but the responsibility remains squarely on us. Saints, I believe we have too much on our plates, too many clothes in our closets, too much on our schedules, too many internet social media tabs on our phones and our laptops, too much to achieve and win and earn to fill our houses and barns. Except enough time to come to know Jesus. To know the sound of his voice, not our voice. Not our voice. His voice. The world has offered everything that pleases the eye and entices the heart. Like the Nephites of old, our abundance and lives of ease and technology have turned on us like ravenous wolves, hungry to devour every good thing we as families could do and enjoy. And yet we turn to our electronic devices to soothe our souls and distract our minds. Both children and parents are absorbed in these electronic entertainment wonders. We stay up later at night because the illuminance from these devices keeps us awake and engaged in shopping and doom scrolling and reading one more social media post that I've just got to share with everyone. The distractions keep us from thinking of the depressing matters in life, that our children no longer congregate together except online. Do you know, for the first time in America, teen pregnancy has been down since COVID? Do you know why? Young people don't even meet each other physically anymore. They do it online. These distractions keep us from thinking... As depression and mental illness increases, we talked about this in the youth class, as suicide numbers of preteens and teens becomes unbelievably alarming. I looked at this yesterday. Some say an increase since 2012 of 57% in young girls and preteens. All the while, we choose these addicted devices over the Word of God in our free time because they're always in our pockets, they're always in our purses, tucked in our pants, tucked in our shirts. So our knowledge base of the God of eternity and how he can heal our families and free our lives from Babylon shrinks like dried fruit in the hot sun. And yet tonight, I bring you, saints, good news from the Doctrine and Covenants, the book of Doctrine and Covenants, section 85, 16b. Hear the words of a compassionate God, ever asking, ever pleading in loving tones. Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. That is expedient for you. And if ye ask anything that is not expedient for you, it shall turn to your condemnation. Behold, that which you hear is as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. In the wilderness because you cannot see him. My voice because my voice is spirit. My spirit is truth. Truth abideth and have no end. And if it be in you, it shall abound. And if your eye be single to my glory, your whole body shall be filled with light. There shall be no darkness in you. And that body which is filled with light comprehendeth all things. Therefore, sanctify yourselves, that your minds be single to God. And the days will come that you will see him, for he will unveil his face unto you, and it shall be in his own time, in his own way, and according to his own will. Number five, last one. The doubt in our own minds, and the sorrow sometimes in our own souls. My friends, I know many of you are weary. Even those of great faith who often stand in our midst to minister to us day in, day out. For the mothers and the grandmothers who pray long prayers and live out sometimes hard days, day after day, year after year, as they wipe away the tears, as they bandage the scraped knees, they wash our clothes, they scrub the floors, they peel the potatoes, and they can and freeze the abundance of our gardens. For youth who wonder why in the world they were fitted for these days, and if there is a future worth living for them, and why their lives must be surrounded by such sorrow when they long to run free. To run free and embrace untold dreams and hopes, gifts, and talents. For those who endure illness and sickness and burdens of the body, for the ravages of this life do not pick and choose who they will descend upon. During the lonely hours, the painful hours that seemingly have no end, for those who suffer and for those that serve patiently and unselfishly, for those who are sick and wounded and depressed and just worn out. For ministers of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ who are balancing the family budget while finding funds to travel near and to far off and far off lands, trying to meet the expectations of the flock, who must find time to search the word diligently to know the will of God, and yet mow the grass, fix the garbage disposal, find 10 minutes to play ball with your son, and have tea time with your daughter. Sometimes find themselves alone when they stand in the breach of difficult matters between saints or differences with other elders and other factions. And for everyone who cannot let go of the sins of the past, who feel the tugging of the natural man from behind, who cannot let go of the guilt of committing the same sin over and over when you promised Jesus you would lay it down. When emotion and dread seem like siblings squabbling in the back of your mind, when your friends and family don't seem to understand, for they are lost in their own trouble, when there is not enough money, when there is not enough time, when there is not enough friendship, when it seems there is not enough grace, not enough mercy, not enough love, and when life is for you just too hard, I bring you good news from the Doctrine and Covenants, section 76. This is the last one. Turn with me to see what's in store for them that endure the crosses of this world and yet remain faithful. For thus saith the Lord, I, the Lord, am merciful and gracious unto those who fear me, and delight to honor those who serve me in righteousness and in truth unto the end. Great shall be their reward, and eternal shall be their glory. And to them will I reveal all the mysteries, yea, all the hidden mysteries of my kingdom. From days of old and from ages to come will I make known unto them the good pleasure of my will concerning all things pertain to my kingdom. Yea, even the wonders of eternity shall they know, and things to come will I show them, even the things of many generations. Their wisdom shall be great, their understanding reach to the heavens, and before them the wisdom of the wise shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent shall come to naught. For by my Spirit will I enlighten them, and by my power will I make known unto them the secrets of my will, yea, even those things which eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor yet entered into the heart of man. And we skip down. And receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands of him who is ordained and sealed under this power, who overcome by faith are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father sheds forth unto all those who are just and true. They are they who are the church of the firstborn, for they are they into whose hands the Father has given all things. I'll jump down a little further. These shall dwell in the presence of God and his Christ forever and ever. These are they whom he shall bring with him, and he shall come in the cloud of heaven to reign on the earth over his people. They are they who have part in the first resurrection. These are they who shall come forth in the resurrection of the judge. These are they who come unto Mount Zion, unto the sitting of the living God, the heavenly place, the holiest of all. The prophets proclaim, and the sights and wonders appearing before us in the world, ripening in iniquity, herald the coming of the great I Am, the Prince of Peace, who will subject all nations and peoples, all his enemies under his feet, calling all those who will come to come. You and I, saints, must come to know him as he is known, to hear and recognize the sound of his voice, to hear immediately, knowing that voice, turn unto him in that great day of reckoning. He desires to reveal himself to those with broken hearts and contrite spirits. People of prayer who search his words diligently and choose the things of the Spirit over the things of this world, these are those who will find favor and pleasure and peace in his presence. This is where our attention should be as sons and daughters on coming to know him. Saints, it is all about Jesus and nothing else. It is all about Jesus and nothing else. About his coming in reality, right before us in the world. It's not about branches and factions. It's not about who is right and who is wrong on church authority and priesthood calls. Not who understands Scripture historically better or who has a better understanding of the world around us. The risen Jesus is the good news. The church, miracles, signs, wonders, revelation, and prophecy are all rendered by the glorious light in his loving eyes. Our repentance and forgiveness of sins, which are consumed by him forever, never to be remembered again, comes from the healing and redemption found in the scars in his hands, in his feet, and in his side. Remember, my friends, Jesus was right in front of the Pharisee. And all the religious leaders of Israel, they never knew him. Even with all he did, he opened the sight of the blind, he healed the leper. They saw him do this. They even saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. And you know what they said? Now we're going to have to kill Lazarus too. Because Lazarus is the proof that he says who he says he is, the Messiah. Let us not be guilty of the same folly. Let us come to know him, to know the sound of his voice as he calls to us in our sanctuary of prayer, in our searching of his word, in choosing him and the Spirit over the flesh. And in all things, be thankful. Be comforted by the Holy Spirit of promise. Let your hearts be full of joy this night, because Jesus has purchased you, every one of you, with a great price. And as Nephi said, knowledge of this forgiveness is what? Exceeding great joy. Let the grace and mercy of Jesus of Nazareth, risen from the dead with healing in his wings, descend on you. And before you stretch out your hands tomorrow to partake of the sacrament of his supper, let his blood this night cleanse you in your repentant prayers, because his grace and mercy is new when? Every day. Let his blood wash over you and your sins, which are scarlet, that you be made clean, whiter than the fuller's soap, pure like the driven snow, to know what is the breadth and the height and the depth of a loving Father and an obedient Son, who desire more than anything we know of in the universe to bring you and me and our children and everyone on this earth who will listen home, to dwell there forever, never to go out, never again to sorrow, never to be ill or sick, never again to be lonely or tired or burdened, ever again. So may it be, my friends, as Jesus would desire of you. As you ponder that, I leave with these words from 3 Nephi, the fourth chapter of the 41st verse. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I to as many as shall believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, and at the time of their conversion were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come into the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive. For such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life and have taken it up again. Therefore, repent, come unto me, ends of the earth, and be saved. Even so, amen.
Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Don't ever forget that, right? I love that hymn. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Sometimes that's not the first thing we think, but if we get into a habit, it will be. We'll be dismissed with prayer after we use hymn 89 in our closing. Hymn 89, please stand.
Heavenly Father, our God, even a God of eternity, we praise you even now for this moment in time. We're grateful for the sound of the voice of your servant this evening and the counsel that has been brought to us. We're thankful for the good news that brings hope in our ears. We're grateful for those warning voices that you have given us that tell us what paths to stay away from. We're grateful, Father, for the news that we got regarding our brother Steve Cunningham, and ask a continued blessing upon him and his family. And all week we've been concerned for Brian Perry and have been blessed to hear some good news with him, and ask that they are also continually blessed. Father, also we pray a special prayer this evening for our brother Darrell Webster, that those things that he's going through might continue to help and improve his health, and that he might be able to find a relief from the problem that he is having with his heart. Father, because of the love that I have for these people, I would ask that you would place a blessing upon them. Even as we depart this evening and as we prepare to depart for the week, we pray that you would be with those who are your faithful children, as well as those who are among our wandering sons and daughters, and bring them to a knowledge of the truth. Help them to treasure up wisdom that they fear not. For even as these times are upon us, these perilous times and these trying times, Father, we pray that we might always rise above them, that through the faith that we have in you and your name, we might continue to have joy and hope and a peace that passes all understanding. Continue to be with us through this evening, Father. Thank you once again for the way that you have been with us and for the spirit that you have blessed us with. We offer these thanks, praise, and honor and glory, as well as these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.